Yes, thank you very much indeed, Chris, and welcome to the first sitting of Tynwald for this new five-year tenure. The first, of course, since the general election, and a very important one, to put it mildly. This is the sitting in which a chief minister will be elected for the Isle of Man. Or will it? Of course, the candidates have to get sufficient votes to be successful in succeeding Alan Bell. Alan Bell, who of course has retired after 32 years in Manx politics, still the chief minister as we speak at the moment, in fact, and occupying a front row seat in the public gallery at the moment, alongside the head of external relations, Della Fletcher, the chief secretary, Will Greenham, and also in the public gallery this morning, the Treasury Minister, Eddie Tia. How much longer is he Treasury Minister for? Of course, it could be by the end of today, in which his successor is announced, former Onchan MHK and Government Minister Adrian Earnshaw. Another former minister and MHK in a number of areas, and Douglas, and a former MLC, Dominic Delaney, former MLC and political correspondent for this very station, Manx Radio, in David Collister, and the current Minister of Policy and Reform, and Douglas West, MHK, until recently for 20 years, John Shim, and also a number of members of the media. Well, this is where we are at the moment, and we have a full house, as you'd expect, certainly in the Keys, and the members of the Legislative Council as well are just entering Tynwald Court, and it looks promising that we have a first full house for some time as well in the upper chamber. So that's encouraging, because there have been a few members missing for a variety of reasons. Yes, indeed we have. So all that we await now is the president of Tynwald.
Honourable members, please rise for the president of Tynwald.
More of my honourable members.
Honourable members,
President.
Lord Bishop will lead us in prayer.
Very briefly, just before we begin with the prayers in the blue book, at the first full sitting of Tynwald, we will use the Lord's Prayer in Manx Gaelic, and I have some phonetic versions of that prayer here if any member would like to have a copy. God be gracious to us and bless us.
And make his face shine upon us.
That your way may be known upon earth, your saving power among all nations.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Let the nations rejoice and be glad, for you will judge the peoples righteously and govern the nations upon earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Then shall the earth bring forth her increase, and God, our own God, will bless us.
God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall hear him.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Lord God, you reveal yourself to the childlike and lowly of heart. We pray for guidance in selecting a chief minister, for integrity, justice, wisdom, and good leadership. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen.
Please be seated, honourable members.
Call on the clerk to lay papers.
Hamika Roshi Fuel the Cavern and Mrs. Ensen Nairn, Jen Clark Obir. I lay before the court papers listed at item one for your papers.
Honourable members, I invite the sponsors of the newly elected Speaker of the House of Keys to escort him into the chamber.
June Watterson's first introduction to Tynwald Court as the Speaker of the House of Keys. And alongside his proposer and seconder, Kate Beecroft and Lauren Skelly.
I invite Mrs. Speaker, honourable members, take your seats. Mr. Watterson, as I welcome you to Tynwald this morning, may I congratulate you on your election last week to the ancient and honourable office of Speaker of the House of Keys, marking, as it does, appreciation of your ability and impartiality by your Keys colleagues. While history records that it was John Stevenson, first in the role of the Keys presiding officer back in 1704, with the specific title of Speaker not being claimed until 1758 by Sir George Moore, there is no doubt that the role of Speaker is as old as Tynwald itself, back to the days when the Keys sat in Castle Rushen. Your office requires you to protect members' rights and privileges, and together with your interpretation of standing orders, you thereby guard the political freedom of the people. And there can be no greater responsibility than that. Your role is unique in requiring you to preside in one chamber, but also with the political freedom to speak for your constituents of Rushen and for the House in the setting of Tynwald Court, as well as to represent our island further afield. It is with confidence, Mr. Speaker, that I wish you every success as you discharge your responsibilities in the years ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President, for those kind words. I would like to thank the honourable members of the House of Keys for their unanimous support in my election, and also to thank the people of Rushen for showing me their support in the election. It is a great honour to lead this House as Speaker and to follow in the footsteps of such distinguished holders of the office. I look forward to representing this House and defending its privileges. I look forward to representing my constituents in Rushen and look forward to playing an active part in Tynwald Court. Thank you, Mr. President.
Honourable members, as we prepare to meet the challenges of the future, we now pause to remember the life and work of one who joined in accepting the challenges of the past. Martin Quayle, former member for Middle, our colleague and friend, who died on the 26th of August. I call upon the honourable member for council, Mr. Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President, for the opportunity to pay tribute to George Martin Quayle, who has tragically passed away since the last sitting of this honourable court. I know Mr. Speaker has paid tribute in another place, but as being a member of Tynwald was something he was especially proud of, it is fitting we should add a tribute in Tynwald Court today. Martin was the youngest of three sons of George and Elaine Quayle of the well-known farming family of Glenloch Moraine. Being the third son, he decided on a life in the civil service, but after a short time he went to work for the Isle of Man Farmers, at that time the largest agricultural merchant on the island, serving under Arnold Callan, then a member of Tynwald, who no doubt cultivated Martin's already active political interest. In 1986, he succeeded Arnold Callan as general manager. Throughout his youth, he was a keen and active member of the Young Farmers Movement and became chair of the Isle of Man Federation of Young Farmers and represented the island at off-island events. These started a lifelong involvement with the Young Farmers Ambassadors Movement with an exchange visit to an Austrian farming family who became Martin's extended family. The International Farm Youth Exchange, ILUMI, is a worldwide organisation, and Martin was proud to be elected President of the European Area in 2007 and went on to serve in that capacity for 6 years. It was while President he was successful in persuading the organisation to hold the European Annual Convention on the Isle of Man in 2010. It was a rare week when the sun shone from dawn to dusk, and the international visitors could see at first hand the the island culture and heritage Martin had been such a proud ambassador of for wherever he had travelled. It was the experience of these organisations that enabled him to hit the ground running when he was first elected at the general election in 2001 as the member for Middle. His public speaking and debating skills came to the fore. I know Mr. Speaker has made reference to his enthusiasm for CPA activities that took his ambassadorial role as far as the Falkland Islands. However, he wore his ambassador's hat whenever he was off the island, whether representing CPA, as president of the International Exchange Movement, or on his favourite ski slopes. Martin had a wide circle of friends and would always have a young lady at official functions, like the Tynwald Banquet, but took political correctness to extremes by not favouring one above the others and remained a bachelor boy. New members may not be aware that since Mr. Speaker has been an MHK, memorable remarks are recorded in a booklet entitled Tynwald Balls. Beware, as no doubt you will feature in this in the passage of time. One of Martin's most memorable quotes from that first edition was when in Tynwald he moved a financial motion as minister and spoke at length, and but that was promptly seconded by his department member. And then no other member made a contribution. Martin got up to respond to the non-existent debate and said, "I would suggest that silence means acceptance," to which Quinton Gwill quipped, "You're not married, are you?" Martin, who led the charge against the proposed inert tip at Archelaghan, asked many in-depth questions in this court to highlight the unsuitability of the site. Martin was like a dog with a bone and wouldn't be fobbed off with incomplete answers. And on one occasion, when he took exception to the reply that was given to him, he jumped to his feet and said, "I don't mind being misrepresented, but if you're going to misrepresent me, please do it accurately." As soon as he sat down, he realised what he said and laughed as much as any of us did. He had a keen sense of humour, which endeared him not only to his political colleagues, but also to the civil servants with whom he worked. He was a most diligent member. Even after being involved in a serious car crash and having two broken legs, he was determined to attend Keys and Tynwald sittings in his wheelchair as soon as the doctor allowed. He served in several departments before becoming a minister of three different government departments: Home Affairs 2006 to 2008, in which he claimed to knock the present Chief Secretary into shape; Tourism and Leisure from 2008 to 2010, and Social Care from 2010 to 2011. Martin was a team player and was also a gentleman and respected those taking an opposing view. As you would expect, he was gracious when losing out in the 2011 election. However, his interest in Manx and international politics was as active as ever after the election, and his continued involvement in the community and service to it is an example to us all. Mr. President, we have lost a past colleague and friend, and our thoughts and prayers continue with Martin's mother Elaine and his brothers Peter, John and families in coming to terms with the loss of such a loved family member, who was also a very proud and honourable Manxman.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Honourable members, let us stand for a moment in silent tribute to the memory of our late colleague. Thank you, honourable members. Honourable members, as this court prepares to consider its choice of Chief Minister, I think it would be remiss if I did not, on your behalf, pay tribute to the retiring Chief Minister and the former member for Ramsay, Alan Bell, whose long political service and membership of Tynwald Court for 32 years is shortly drawing to a close. Born in Ramsay and educated at Albert Road School and Ramsay Grammar School, Alan Bell went into Martin's Bank, later taken over by Barclays. From there, he went to Gibraltar and spent a year doing a variety of jobs. He worked in hotels as a cashier and even as an ice cream seller on the beach. With the border with Spain being closed in those days and movement somewhat limited, Alan decided to return home to Ramsey. On his return, he went to work for a firm of accountants, but shortly afterwards opened his own clothing business in Ramsey, becoming, I understand, the island's sole supplier of punk and new romantic clothing to the island's youth. Politically, Alan Bell had been involved with Mec Vannin, and in 1976, he stood for Ramsey in the general election as a Mec Vannin candidate and was only narrowly defeated. A successful candidate in 1976 was Mr. George Swales, who left a vacancy on the Ramsey Town Commissioners, and Alan Bell took over that seat, going in unopposed. This was his first experience of public office, and he served until April 1984, when he resigned his seat. Why was that? Throughout his term in the Commissioners, he worked for the establishment of a new sports hall at Ramsey Grammar School, which was to be built by the Board of Education, as it then was, in partnership with the Ramsey Town Commissioners as a community project. Plans progressed, but at the 11th hour, the commissioners decided to pull out, and Alan Bell resigned in protest. After a carefree summer of travelling Europe by train, that year of 1984, he returned home to find that a vacancy had arisen in the House of Keys, as one of the members for Ramsey, Dr. Hugo Teer, had resigned due to ill health. Under considerable pressure from the voters, Alan Bell stood successfully, and in November 1984, he took his seat in the House of Keys. He was pleased to be sent to the Board of Education, where he was able to continue to work towards the creation of a Ramsey Sports Hall, which eventually did open in 1988. He served at the local government board and as chairman of public transport, and in 1986 was returned at the general election and under the new ministerial system given the post of Minister for Tourism and Leisure, which he went on to serve for some 8 years. Over the course of three more decades, Alan Bell would go on to fight five more general elections, serving variously as Minister for Industry, Home Affairs, Treasury, delivering nine successive budgets in this place from 2002 to 2010, economic development, and of course the last 5 years as Chief Minister. When Alan Bell came into politics, the island was a very different place. Over 3,000 unemployed, reserves of barely 1 million, a standard of living half that of the United Kingdom. In all those years since, he has been passionate about growing the island's economy, not just finance and manufacturing, but diversifying into such things as film, e-gaming, space industry. But he has also been equally passionate about social justice and reform, to ensure not just economic opportunity, but social equality for the island's people. If the island has moved on and up over the past 40 years, it is in no small part due to the political passion and commitment of Alan Bell, not only at home, but abroad. He has had the ear and respect of fellow heads of government, of foreign ministers. He has taken to the international stage on the island's behalf the promotion of our growing reputation as a top business centre, most lately earning praise from the international media and also at home for speaking out boldly and unscripted at May's anti-corruption summit in London about the hypocrisy of nations somewhat bigger than ourselves. Alan Bell can leave Tynwald with pride in a lifetime of public service, service recognised in which we also take pride, with the award of CBE earlier this year. We, as members of Tynwald, extend good wishes to him, to Stephen, his family, for long years of retirement ahead. Yeah. Honourable members, at this point, I wish to congratulate those of you who have been elected or re-elected to the House of Keys, and welcome you, along with your Legislative Council colleagues, to this first sitting of Tynwald in our new term. I would like to record the Court's appreciation for the services of those members of the last House of Keys who are no longer with us, and indeed all candidates who put forward their names at the recent general election in the service of Manx democracy. Yeah. In this most ancient of all parliaments, we have a precious asset of which we should be justly proud. Democratic, responsible, courteous, dignified, good-humoured, and passionate, these should be the watchwords by which we conduct our business and thereby earn the confidence of the public we are here to serve. This island and the world faces many challenges in the coming years. Statesmanship, foresight, initiative and good planning will be needed. New members will need strength of resolution to make the right decisions. And it is in this regard we should perhaps be mindful of the words of the 19th century historian Lord Macaulay, who said, "No man is fit to govern who hesitates about disobliging the few who have access to him for the sake of the many he will never see." Remember also the words, even earlier, of Edmund Burke, that MPs are representatives who vote according to their unbiased opinion, mature judgment, and enlightened conscience, rather than as mere delegates who repeat the views of their constituents. In his words, "Your representatives owe you not their industry only, but their judgment, and they betray you instead of serving you if they sacrifice it to your opinion." So, honourable members, we move on, and as a matter of housekeeping, I draw your attention to the next sitting on the 18th of October, when there has been a request by Mr. Paul Moulton to briefly film the start of the sitting on the 18th of October. I am minded to grant permission on the grounds that this filming will be done from the press bench and will be non-intrusive to our deliberations and for a short time only. Is that agreed, honourable members?
Agreed.
Thank you, honourable members. Honourable members, I have to announce that royal assent has been given to the Custody Amendment Act 2016. Honourable members, we now turn to our order paper. The main business today is the election of a Chief Minister. This election is governed by Section 2 of the Council of Ministers Act 1990 and also by Standing Orders 15, 24A, 317A and 53, as amended by the recent change to Standing Order 317B. Three members have been proposed. Mrs. Kate Beecroft, proposed by Mr. Laurie Hooper and seconded by Ms. Julie Edge. Mr. Alfred Cannon, proposed by Mr. Chris Thomas and seconded by Mr. Martin Perkins. And Mr. Howard Quayle, proposed by Mr. David Ashford and seconded by Mr. Ray Harmer. I intend to take the nominations in alphabetical order of the nominees. I will therefore invite the proposer and seconder of the nomination of the Honourable Member for Douglas South, Mrs. Beecroft, followed by the proposer and seconder of the nomination of the Honourable Member for Erin Michael, Mr. Cannon, and then the Honourable Member for Middle, Mr. Quayle. Following established practice, I shall allow honourable members proposing and seconding nominees to speak in support of that nominee, but I shall not allow other speeches. I remind honourable members of the procedure, which is in two parts. The first part consists of a ballot to produce one nominee with the council and the keys voting together as one body. But unlike in previous years, the Keys will vote first and the Legislative Council will vote once the results in the Keys have been announced under Standing Order 317B. If one candidate attracts the majority of the votes of the members present and voting, I shall put the motion that that candidate be nominated as Chief Minister, and it will be voted on electronically, Tynwald again voting as one body. Following nomination by this court, the successful nominee will then be appointed by His Excellency, the Lieutenant Governor. Honourable members, I call for nominations and seconders. Mr. Laurie Hooper, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. It is a privilege that the first speech I'm able to give in this honourable court is to propose a worthy candidate as our next Chief Minister, who would be the First Lady to hold this position. I've worked closely with the Honourable Member for Douglas South, Mrs. Kate Beecroft, for the last 5 years, and like those who have followed her Tynwald career with interest, know that she has the necessary skills to lead our island through the troubled waters ahead. Having topped the poll in Douglas South, the Honourable Member has shown that she has the support of her constituents and also their trust. Rebuilding trust in government will be an important part of the next administration, and I believe it is essential that our next Chief Minister has this foremost in their mind. Hard-working and tenacious, Mrs. Beecroft has demonstrated time and time again that she is willing to stand up for her principles, even when doing so is not the popular route. We have all seen evidence of this determination over the past 5 years, and I know that she will fulfil the role of Chief Minister with an equal amount of strength and courage. Perhaps more important than this, Mrs. Beecroft has that rare quality of knowing when to yield and when to stand her ground. This is an essential skill for any leader. The Honourable Member has proposed an inclusive government in which all the elected members of Tynwald will be encouraged to play a part. We have all brought with us unique skills and insights, and Mrs. Beecroft has pledged to ensure we all have the opportunity to serve our constituents to the best of our ability by bringing our own priorities to be included in the programme for government. I know that many of us share the same ideals of openness and transparency which are embodied in the principles held by Mrs. Beecroft. And from the number of new faces around this honourable court, it is evident that the electorate have voted for a new direction. And I know that Mrs. Beecroft will bring a new style of leadership that is needed to help drive us down a new path. I humbly submit to this honourable court that Mrs. Beecroft is the right person for the job and commend her to honourable members with my full support. Thank you, Mr. President.
Call on the honourable member for Onchan, Ms. Edge, to second.
Thank you, Mr. President. Less than 2 weeks ago, the people of the Isle of Man sent out a clear message and voted overwhelmingly for change. Many of us in our manifestos promised that if elected, we would do all we can to drive the change. Electing a progressive Chief Minister is the first opportunity we have to show that we will honour that trust. The old ways are no longer acceptable. What we need and what the people want is a new, fresh approach in government with clear and transparent policies, a government that will be open and honest with the people of this proud island, a government that can hold its head up in the wider political arena, a government that can work together with the overriding aim of making this island prosper for the good of all, a government that has the trust of its people, and a government that new and existing businesses will have confidence in an efficient system of government with a framework that can work together with and invest in those businesses with sensible regulatory regimes and efficient service delivery. The Honourable Member for Douglas South, Mrs. Kate Beecroft, is the right person to bring Tynwald together to deliver on these goals. Improving our transparency, accountability, and the efficiency of government should be uppermost in our decision today, because without this strong foundation, everything else fails. A vote for Mrs. Beecroft will cement those foundations, underpinned with a principled approach with honesty and integrity, where the input of all members of this honourable court is valued. I urge each and every one of you, before casting your vote, to consider the direction that you want government to take, towards openness, towards transparency, and towards a fairer and more equal society. Mrs. Beecroft is the right person to restore public trust in government. My colleague, the Honourable Member for Ramsay, spoke of courage and strength, but an equally important quality exemplified by Mrs. Beecroft is compassion. The next 5 years will be difficult, and we need a Chief Minister with this quality to ensure government deals fairly with all the people of our island. I am honoured to be able to second the proposal that Mrs. Beecroft be our next Chief Minister. Thank you, Mr. President.
I call on the Honourable Member for Douglas Central, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. President. And before proposing the Honourable Member for Eyre and Michael, Mr. Cannon, MHK, for nomination as Chief Minister in this election, I would just like to congratulate the Honourable Members for Ramsay and Onchan on their maiden speeches. Yeah. In his January 2014 Modernising Ministerial Government debate speech, Mr. Cannon told this Honourable Court of the scepticism of some Antipodean parliamentarians he looked after during their Tynwald visit. Scepticism that, quote, anything could be achieved politically in a Keys with members elected as independents, unquote. Mr. Cannon mentioned that episode that day to explain why he welcomed proposals which he argued could focus policy and vision with ministers and members thereafter acting accordingly. I mention this speech and that episode today for two reasons. Firstly, because it shows that Mr. Cannon has been chosen as Tynwald's international ambassador for some years. And secondly, these remarks 3 years ago demonstrate that Mr. Cannon has been serious for some time about his pledge in respect of the new approach to government based on a government programme approved in Tynwald as a basis for collective responsibility. This is probably the single most important thing about Mr. Cannon's candidacy. He can lead us beyond talking an agenda for change to actual delivery of a government programme with realistic financing and supportive legislation that will make government more effective for people and provide better outcomes for people. Government ministerial experience was touted as the primary factor for a chief minister, but in fact, many good governments have been led by politicians without ministerial experience. What really matters is the vision and the capability of the potential chief minister to lead the public's elected representatives in our nation. As the Lord Bishop put it that same day back in January 2014, the source of power is the electorate, and the election of the Chief Minister is based on his or her manifesto to the public electorate, because if it is based on something different, then you are causing an interruption. And Mr. Cannon has a significant mandate. He topped the poll in Eyre and Michael with 2/3 of those voting giving him a vote more than the rest of us have. And however the wider public has been asked, Mr. Cannon's candidacy is one which seems to have popular support. And in any case, Mr. Cannon's experience is not limited. Mr. Cannon has represented Tynwald abroad. I have witnessed him working the situation and people to secure our national interests. Mr. Cannon has built companies, just the sort of experience we need. Most importantly, as well as chairing the Tynwald Public Accounts Committee, the Senior Tynwald Committee, and chairing the Civil Service Commission, Whitley Council, and the Public Service Pensions Authority, Mr. Cannon has chaired the board of the Manx Utility Authority for 2.5 years, a body with an annual turnover of 100 million, which is larger than all but two of government departments. During this time, the MUA has been restructured into a single legal entity, which is 6 million ahead of its revenue projections, better than some government departments. But it is policy that really matters, and Mr. Cannon would have to lead a broad church in political terms. as other chief ministers have had to do. For one, though, I am excited about this opportunity to work with colleagues under Mr. Cannon's leadership, as I have worked with him in various groupings in recent years. For instance, to change the stealth taxation policy of new and increased charges. It was Mr. Cannon who coined the phrase drip, 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 and he was an important member of the Group of Nine who voted against the toilet tax and led that successful change, or that change to policy, which was successful. An extract from Mr. Cannon's 2014 budget speech from this time encapsulates Mr. Cannon's politics then and since. Quote, "When we started out on this short journey, almost precisely 2.5 years ago, it was the scope of government report and its sibling review that were heralded as the drivers of the new look government. That and the three much heralded mantras of balancing the budget, growing the economy and protecting the vulnerable. However, Madam President, both the scope and the given and the vision..."
Mr. President.
Madam President's quote, I'm sorry. "Both the scope and the vision of government lacked real detail, and I, at the time, called on the government to lay out its full-term agenda for dealing with the loss of revenue, a call that was rebutted as being impractical. But I do not believe, Madam stroke Mr. President, 2014, that it was impractical. Instead, such an early and comprehensive plan would have made the transitions we are undertaking so much easier. In bringing forward such a plan, the government would have set a more detailed agenda with headline figures that would have allowed the public and Tim Ward into a full overview of the required changes and sacrifices that were needed to adapt to the new financial circumstances. It would have also encouraged the backbenchers to take a more active role in forcing the government and council of ministers into taking the leadership actions that were necessary to be able to instill the public confidence necessary to drive through reforms successfully. The actions that I am talking about in particular, Madam President, were the actions to address the savings that Tim Ward itself was going to make to set the example. The Chief Minister should have clearly set out an agenda that had included reform of the Legislative Council alongside the other impositions that have already been made, such as the removal of fuel allowances and pensions increases. It is not, as the Chief Minister recently insinuated, a minor requirement in the overall scheme of things, but rather a required example that would have instilled confidence in the public." Unquote. Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, honourable members, this general election was a vote for change, not a vote for more of the same. I propose that the honourable member for Eyre and Michael, Mr. Cannon, MHK, is nominated by this honourable court as Chief Minister to make the economy work for more people and to make government more effective for us all, thus conserving consensus and confidence. He can deliver the government programme we need, starting from our input later this month in the Tim Ward debate, which is already scheduled. Mr. Cannon listens, he discusses, he learns, and most importantly, he is a credible action man. Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, honourable members, I propose Mr. Cannon.
Honourable member for Garth, Mr. Perkins.
Mr. President, as a newly elected MHK, I am acutely aware that in the recent general election, the Manx voting public voted for fresh thinking and a new direction of government. I have followed the political career of the Honourable Member for Eyre and Michael over the last 5 years. I know him to be a man of high integrity, a man of vision, and above all, a resolute, confident man who inspires others. It is a privilege for me to second the Honourable Member of Douglas Central's nomination of Mr. Cannon, as I firmly believe is in the best interests of our island nation.
Honourable Member for Douglas North, Mr. Ashford.
Thank you, Mr. President. It is my great honour and privilege to rise to propose the Honourable Member for Middle, Mr. Quayle, for the position of the next Chief Minister of our island. Over the last 5 years, the Honourable Member for Middle has held many varied roles, most recently having taken on what is one of the toughest jobs in government, that of Minister for Health and Social Care. Prior to this, he served as Chairman of Planning, Chairman of the MEA, and served as a member in the crucial departments of Infrastructure and Economic Development. Mr. Quayle also has a record, Mr. President, of not just talking about change, but actually delivering it. He was the minister that helped finally bring forward the much-delayed Disability Discrimination Act. As a backbencher, he helped raise the issue of public sector pensions on the floor of this honourable court that ultimately led to the changes agreed in June this year. And he brought forward the proposal in 2013, which ultimately led to the £50 million enterprise fund. I hope all of this displays to honourable members, Mr. President, that Mr. Quayle is one of the most experienced members of this honourable court. The next 5 years are probably going to be some of the toughest in living memory for our island. And in the honourable member for Middle, we have a person of experience who knows not just how government works, but crucially, honourable members, where government does not work. I know, Mr. President, that some outside this honourable court, and maybe even some inside, have questioned, do we really need experience going forward? The analogy for me, Mr. President, is one of a watch that isn't working correctly, an item that has many moving parts, all of which have to work together to produce the desired result, much like Isle of Man government, you might say. You don't take the watch to the dentist or the doctors to get it repaired, you take it to the watchmaker. Why? Because they know how all the parts work, both individually and together, and crucially, not just what is wrong with them, but also how to fix them. The Honourable Member for Middle, Mr. Quayle, is the person who knows the parts of the government machinery, how it works, how it doesn't work, and over the next 5 years is in the best position to repair the parts that are failing. I hope that honourable members have noticed, Mr. President, that the honourable member for Middle headed up his policy statement, an inclusive government leading the way. For me, that is absolutely crucial. If we are to bring real and lasting change over the next 5 years, we all need to be working together as a team. A team Timwood, as the honourable member for Middle has called it. Mr. Quayle, if given the chance by honourable members, Mr. President, is someone who can bring real and lasting change. Not just change for change's sake, but targeted change that will make a real and positive difference in people's everyday lives. If honourable members want an inclusive government that offers consistency, stability, alongside greater public engagement, and that also delivers strong leadership based on policies, not personalities, then I would urge honourable members, Mr. President, to support the nomination of the honourable member for Middle, Mr. Quayle.
Honourable member for Glenfarne and Peel, Mr. Harmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. And firstly, I would like to congratulate the member for Garth, Martin Perkins, and the member for Douglas North, David Ashford, for their maiden speech, and congratulate them on that. Yeah. I beg to second Howard Quayle as Chief Minister. All of the three candidates have great qualities, which I hope to see in the new government. But I believe Howard Quayle has demonstrated the skills and the strength of character to be Chief Minister. Interestingly, all three were elected in September 2011. All of them were backbenchers since 2011. Howard Quayle has significant experience vital to the role of Chief Minister, such as having vision, a willingness to challenge, a mind to initiate reform, and leadership skills to deliver change, as was demonstrated through his role as Health and Social Services Minister. In implementing successful change in health and other areas, Howard has had the support and confidence of MHKs, the whole of Timwood, as well as the public service, qualities which are crucial to the position of Chief Minister. Howard leads by example, has integrity, honesty, and is committed to our island. Howard works incredibly hard and has won respect across Timwood and beyond. Over the last year, I've worked with Howard, and he's a team player. He involves the members of his department in every decision and works with them all to formulate ideas. In health, we had political views across the spectrum, but Howard was able to bring the team together. Much has been said of collective responsibility, but under Howard, if a member does not support the policy consistently, the member has a free vote. Howard also supports his team with their ideas and passions. When approached with the idea of digitalisation of hospital paper records,
Howard supported this, leading the change and potentially saving over $2 million a year. Howard is strategic. He has launched the five-year health strategy this year, as well as the new mental health strategy. As chair of Manx Utilities, he initiated the scheme to combine the water, sewage and electricity parts of the business. Howard has shown in his manifesto how he has a vision for the island, vital for these challenging times. Howard is a reformer. He has reformed the planning process while a member of DOI, saving $500,000 a year. He brought a motion regarding the public pensions, which initiated a review over the last 2 years. He led the way for a £50 million investment fund to support economic growth. He has taken significant legislation forward with the Health and Social Care Bill over the last year. Howard is his own man. He shows drive, determination, and commitment. He has made difficult decisions and does not flinch in adversity or challenge. He has great respect across the public service, but has not been afraid to replace CEOs and directors when needed. Howard has made good contacts with politicians from other jurisdictions and shown he can negotiate good deals for the benefit of our island. We need to maintain a steady ship with Howard's experience and strength at the helm. We have heard the talk for the need of change, but we should remember that we have had over 30 years of economic growth with 5% last year, effectively full employment and an AA1- credit rating. We mustn't knee-jerk into changing for change's sake and spend the next 3 years undoing and reviewing what's already planned, such as the public and state pension. We have change. We have 12 new members. Most of the ministers will be new, which makes it more important to have experience and leadership at the helm. We also need to ensure that we use the experience and skills we have, particularly in the newly elected MHKs, as well as the MLCs who are elected by Keys for a five-year term. Howard cares deeply about the people he serves and never takes a decision lightly, and always for the best interests of the island. During the next 5 years, we can have confidence in Howard as Chief Minister, as one who has been tried and tested and can unite and lead the way forward. This is why I beg to second Howard Quayle for Chief Minister. Thank you, Mr. President.
Well, members, that brings the nominations to a close. We therefore will ballot on the names of the three members nominated. I ask the clerk to read out the names of those proposed and seconded.
The following members have been nominated and seconded. Mrs. Kate Beecroft, Mr. Alfred Cannon, and Mr. Howard Quayle.
Honourable members, I appoint from the Council to act as a teller the Honourable Member of Council, Mr. Cretney. Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Cugine from the Queen, sir.
At this point, members of the House of Keys, please vote. Ballot papers are before you.
Just to recap, this is not a secret ballot, but in the first instance, the members are voting on their ballot papers. They will then be collected by the tellers. And of course, this is where we wait. As it stands, as I understand it, a candidate will need the majority of the House, in other words, 17 votes, to be successful. If that doesn't happen, then there is a possibility that the candidate with the least amount of votes will withdraw from the process and there will be a second ballot. Just to recap, if you're tuning in, the ballot has taken place to elect a new chief minister. The tellers have now gone out to count the votes and to decide who should be Alan Bell's successor in the top job in Manx Publics. And this is the first time that the public will actually know how each Tymal member voted. In the past, it's always been a secret ballot. But today, the MHKs vote first, then the MLCs will vote. And we await the results with interest. The three candidates vying for the position, Alf Cannon, Howard Quayle and Kate Beecroft, South Douglas. And of course, they have addressed their colleagues at a gathering on Friday afternoon. They subsequently took part in a programme on Manx Radio on Sunday. And then last night, a public meeting organised, a public hustings really, organised by the Positive Action Group. There have been various polls, both online and from media organisations as well. And among the issues which have been discussed, should members of the Legislative Council be government ministers? Well, all these three candidates say they shouldn't be. But actually, Howard Quayle believes there should be an option for MLCs to be departmental members for the new ones to really benefit from their experience. But again, Kate Beecroft and Alf Cannon are opposed to that. So we wait and see. All three candidates are vying for the role, Kate Beecroft, Alfred Cannon and Howard Quayle. If Mrs. Beecroft is successful, she would be the first female Chief Minister of the Isle of Man. Alfred Cannon, of course, is vying for a role that his father, David Cannon, the former member for Michael, was very keen on for a while, but didn't receive sufficient support when he stood for the role in 2006. And Howard Quayle, of course, has been the middle MHK for the last 5 years. In fact, all of these candidates, as was mentioned earlier, have been MHKs now for 5 years. It also remains to be seen whether Mr. Speaker Joe Watterson, there was talk that if, in terms of his role and impartiality, he may abstain from this vote, but we wait and see if there is a support paper. The box now being returned from the messengers, from the tellers.
Honourable members, now that the Keys have voted, I shall ask the clerk to read out the names of those who have voted and the way they have voted, including which votes, if any, were spoilt.
Mr. President, the members of the House of Keys in this ballot have voted as follows. Dr. Allenson has voted for Mr. Quayle. Mr. Ashford has voted for Mr. Quayle. Mr. Baker has voted for Mr. Quayle. Mrs. Beecroft has voted for Mrs. Beecroft. Miss Bettison has voted for Mr. Cannon. Mr. Boot has voted for Mr. Quayle. Mrs. Kane has voted for Mr. Cannon. Mr. Collister has voted for Mr. Cannon. Mr. Cannon has voted for Mr. Cannon. Mrs. Corlett has voted for Mr. Quayle. Mr. Cregeen has voted for Mr. Quayle. Ms. Edge has voted for Mrs. Beecroft. Mr. Harmer has voted for Mr. Quayle. Mr. Hooper has voted for Mrs. Beecroft. Mr. Mullarkey has voted for Mr. Quayle. Mr. Morehouse has voted for Mr. Quayle. Mr. Peake has voted for Mr. Cannon. Mr. Perkins has voted for Mr. Cannon. Mr. Quayle has voted for Mr. Quayle. Mr. Robertshaw has voted for Mr. Cannon. Mr. Shimmins has voted for Mr. Cannon. Mr. Skelly has voted for Mr. Quayle. Mr. Thomas has voted for Mr. Cannon. And Mr. Speaker has voted for Mr. Quayle. The results there are, therefore, are that Mrs. Beecroft has 3 votes, Mr. Cannon has 9 votes, and Mr. Quayle has 12 votes. There are no invalid votes.
Honourable members, I now invite Legislative Council to vote.
President, on a point, could I have a point of clarification? Would I be in order to withdraw my name from the ballot at this stage?
No, Honourable Member, the vote has taken place.
So just if you're tuning in, there have been the votes in the House of Keys so far, and Mr. Quayle has received 12 votes, Mr. Cannon has received 9 votes, and Mrs. Beecroft has received 3 votes. They're just now counting the members of the Legislative Council. By my calculations, Mr. Quayle would need 5 of the 9 available votes in the upper house to receive the, to reach the magic number, if you like, to be elected Chief Minister. And Mr. Cannon would need 8 of the members in the Legislative Council. Mrs. Beecroft out of the running, but obviously members can still vote for her at this stage. Just to recap then, those who voted for Howard Quayle are obviously Mr. Quayle himself, David Ashford, Ray Harmer, Dr. Alex Allenson, Geoffrey Boot, Anne Corlett, Graeme Cregeen, Bill Mullarkey, Jason Morehouse, Lawrence Skelly, Chewan Watterson, and Tim Baker, the 12th member. We now have some results.
Honourable members, now that the council has voted, I shall ask the clerk to read out the names of those who have voted and the way they have voted, including which votes, if any, were spoiled.
Mr. President, it may be simpler if I say that there were no spoiled votes and that there were 9 votes in the council for one candidate, namely Mr. Quayle. Therefore, the results are 3 votes in the composite ballot for Mrs. Beecroft, 9 votes for Mr. Cannon, and 21 votes for Mr. Quayle.
Honourable members, the result of the ballot then is as follows. There were 33 voting papers cast, of which 3 were in favour of Mrs. Beecroft, 9 were in favour of Mr. Cannon, 21 were in favour of Mr. Quayle. Honourable members, I declare that Mr. Quayle has been elected in the ballot. Accordingly, I put forward his name for approval by honourable members. The question is that Mr. Quayle be nominated as Chief Minister. As many as are of that opinion say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those against no.
Aye.
The ayes have it.
Right.
Division called. To read out the result.
In the House of Keys, 15 for and 8 against. In the Legislative Council, 9 for and none against. Therefore, the composite vote of Tynwald is 24 in favour and 8 against.
The result of the Tynwald ballot is that 24 votes were cast for Mr. Quayle and 8 against. Therefore, declare Mr. Quayle elected as Chief Minister, and I congratulate the Honourable Member for Middle, Mr. Quayle.
Yeah.
Honourable Member, that concludes the business on the order paper this morning. Council will now withdraw and leave the House of Keys to transact such business as Mr. Speaker may place before it.
Howard Quayle is the new Chief Minister of the Isle of Man. Thanks for listening. I'll hand you back to the studio.